even when there's no internet or cell phone service. Now, if you value this connection, please pledge your support now. Stay connected. Help everybody to. Pledge now.
Call 1-800-476-8440 or go online to ideastations.org/membership. You're listening to Morning Edition on WCVE Public Radio. Brian Ford joins us now from RBC Wealth Management for his weekly analysis of the business news. Good morning, Brian.
Morning, Wayne. Best wishes with your pledge.
Well, thank you very much. Going pretty well, I think.
Good.
Well, last week was, a pretty good week on Wall Street. In fact, I heard an analyst over the weekend say the markets, for the most part this year, have been incredible. Would you go that far?
Well, I would say, surprisingly, I would use that word. Wayne, I noted that this beautiful fall weather is enough to make anybody feel pretty optimistic. Like, yeah. It was another pretty decent week for stock investors. This week, we're probably going to see more attention paid to Spain, as their government is supposed to release some pretty critical data this week, their budget for next year, a review of their bank's health, and also decide whether to swallow their pride and ask for a bailout from the ECB. We'll see about that. You know, the honeymoon from the Federal Reserve's QE3 is fading. A lot of articles, Wayne, published over the weekend about the unintended consequences of the action of pumping more money in with no end in sight. Wayne, the joke around now is that it's really not QE3. It's called QE Infinity. Have you heard that?
I did, yeah. Explain that.
stocks and oil are up, but jobs and government bonds are kind of back to where they were before the announcement. The other thing I noted, Wayne, over the past week is that Mitt Romney released some tax returns that will likely get some attention this week since he paid about 14% tax rate from last year. Your critics will note his low effective bracket. Supporters will point to the fact that he donated 30% of his income to charity. But, Wayne, what I was shocked to learn was his return was 380 pages long. Are you kidding me? What a mess. Let's get a simpler tax system.
Well, I want to ask you about a few things that have come up recently in the news. China, The economy is slowing. Tell us why.
Yes. This is a big deal, Wayne. The focus, China is definitely giving signals that their economy is slowing down. Now, let's not kid ourselves. We've discussed here how the U.S. and Europe would love to have a 7% growth rate compared to our 2% and Europe's negative growth. But China is definitely down from the go-go years of 10% plus growth for 10 straight years. This is also very important now because the changes in China's leadership, and Wayne, let's be honest, let's not call this an election over there. The changes will occur on October the 10th. So why is all this happening in China now, the slowdown? Several reasons. Number one, China remains a very export-driven economy. And their two biggest clients, the Europe and U.S., have definitely slowed down their purchases. The second major reason is that domestic demand inside China has slowed. We saw that from their fairly anemic manufacturing sector results over the past few months. The other thing I noticed is that direct foreign investments into China have cooled because of Byzantine rules and also China's clampdown on privacy and security. So really, what does all this mean? There's definitely a spillover effect to emerging market countries like Hong Kong, Singapore, even Russia, Australia, and Japan. In addition, some blue-chip U.S. companies have started to reduce their earnings outlook for the next couple of years because of a potential hard landing in China. Bottom line is this, Wayne. China's leaders will continue to join the bandwagon of stimulus and keep lowering interest rates to keep things rolling.
Mm-hmm. Well, the third quarter is coming to an end of this week. Has it been a pretty good quarter or not?
It's actually been a very good quarter. You're right. The third quarter of 2012 ends this week. Somewhat surprisingly, September has thus far been up very nicely, despite a lot of lingering doubts by many analysts. In fact, I noted this weekend, Wayne, that the ratio of insider selling to buying is very high. What that means is that the insiders at companies, those who should know the best about their company's financial situation, are selling at a much faster rate than they're buying. That gives you a little concern, especially with market averages back to the high levels where they were 5 years ago before the recession. So you may say the pros are packing in for the year, trying to milk the clock and end with unexpectedly good results for the year? Well, not so much. In fact, the average institutional manager of money is trailing the surprisingly strong S&P 500 by a wide margin, mostly because so many of them have been cautious in holding large percentages of cash this summer. But, Wayne, these guys get paid on how they rank versus their index, and they need to play catch-up. So that may continue to keep prices up for some time, but you'll also see a good bit of rebalancing here at the end of this week as managers seek to get their portfolios kind of cleaned up before they're required to issue their third quarter reports.
Okay. I hear that municipal bonds are doing better than expected. What do you think?
Well, I totally agree with that. This is not an area that gets a lot of press. It's usually a fairly calm area, you know, of cities and schools and school districts paying their interest and investors kind of playing conservative. Well, the last few years have been unusually volatile for munis, or tax-free municipal bonds, as we call them. 2 years ago, a well-known analyst made waves by boldly predicting that half of all bonds would go bankrupt. That would have been enormous, like $500 billion or so of defaults, but that just hadn't happened. In reality, munis have seen about a 1% default rate over the last several decades, a little higher if you count some non-rated bonds. Now, Wayne, don't get me wrong. Things are not all hunky-dory for the issuers of municipal bonds. In fact, people point to high-profile Harrisburg, PA, Stockton, California, even Rhode Island and Alabama, some defaults there. But the reality is, with tax rates set to rise on January 1st, demand for tax-free bonds remains as high as ever. And the fiscal condition of many cities is better than it was, better tax receipts. They still have some significant unfunded liabilities from retirees' pensions. But the bottom line is this, Wayne. Tax-free bonds have played a major role for many retired investors and high-net-worth people, and they're going to continue to do so. The ongoing problems are just the lack of bonds out there and also the low rates for reinvestment. It's really hurting investors' pocketbooks right now.
Okay. Our thanks to Brian Ford at RBC Wealth Management for his Monday morning analysis of the business news. Brian Ford's analysis is made possible in part by Stellar One Bank, personal and business banking for over 100 years. Now in Richmond at the corner of Libby and Patterson, information at StellarOne.com. Stellar One Bank, shine. Morning edition on WCVE Public Radio. Here's Lisa Tate.
1-800-476-8440 or ideastations.org/membership. That is the way to join the 1,440 people who have pledged their support so far during this campaign. If you haven't done it yet, I hope you'll do it now. Your dollars will be matched dollar for dollar by a group of Commonwealth Circle members who have put together a pool of money to encourage you, and so that we can end this drive quickly and successfully. $10,000 is the total amount of that, so they are matching pledges until that is all gone, dollar for dollar. So your pledge right now can count for double. I've been listening this morning and pulling together a look at what our mission is and looking at how it's represented and proven time and time again. Our mission is to use the power of media to educate, entertain, and inspire. And our areas of impact are arts, history, science, news, and children's education. Now, maybe with the exception of children's education, although we are educating parents and teachers, so perhaps that does reach down into children's education. But we have covered the gamut of all of that this morning. News, certainly, with Brian Ford's business news analysis, and coming up next, Craig Carper will be hearing that exclusive interview with President Obama. History, we had a moment in time. Science, we had your health in the past hour. Arts, we have ArtsLine. We have lots of stories about the arts. All there for you. If you can see that our mission is proven again and again, and that somehow helps you in your life, I hope that you're a member. And if you're not yet a member, we are offering you an easy opportunity to do that today. Call 1-800-476-8440 or go online to ideastations.org/membership, and you can choose your level, you can choose your amount, you can choose your method of payment, and then you can make it happen. We hope that you will. 1-800-476-8440.
The broadcast of Morning Edition is made possible by the Greater Richmond ARC, serving 1,300 area individuals with intellectual disabilities and their families. Visit ARC on the web at richmondarc.org. And Kelleher Heating, Oil, Cooling, Plumbing, Electrical, Generators, A train comfort specialist serving Central Virginia residences. It's hard to stop a train. Kelleher, available at 649-7501. And Randolph-Macon College presenting an evening with 2010 Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Paul Harding, author of Tinkers, Thursday, September 27th at 7:30 p.m. in Washington Franklin Hall. Book signing to follow. Open to all. Details at rmc.edu. This is WCVE Public Radio. President Obama campaigned in Virginia Friday as new polls showed him increasing his lead over Republican Mitt Romney in a state widely regarded as one of a handful of swing states either candidate must carry to win. While on the campaign trail in Northern Virginia, the president granted an exclusive interview to WCVE correspondent Craig Carper.
There's an underlying premise to my first question, which is that the next Congress is why